Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions. If you'd like to call in and speak with me, the number is 424-220-1801, 424-220-1801. I welcome your calls, your questions, and your comments. Before I get started, talking about my topic today, I just wanted to let you all know about my book, Cliff Edge Road, the memoir, which I released, I guess, about a month or two ago. And it is the story of my life from the time that I was a child of narcissistic abuse with my mother. And I show you all in my through my stories how that affected my life and how it progressed into other relationships. And it's really the first book out there that actually demonstrates that through a real story. So take a look at it, Cliff Edge Road, CLIFFEDGE. It's one word. Cliff Edge is one word. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I also would like to ask you if you are reading or have read my books, to please leave me reviews on Amazon. Other people really look at that, and it's so hard for me to get people to actually leave reviews. So if you would just be so kind as to do that for me, I would really, really appreciate it. And if you want, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com after you do that, and I will offer you a free 30-minute counseling session. So if that's any incentive to do it. There's a little static in the line. We're having some problem with our phone on the outside. But hopefully it won't get any worse than it is right now. So I wanted to start off by telling you about an experience I had yesterday. I have a client who is in the process of getting a divorce. There's a child involved. And this person is having a very, very hard time. She's already been through two attorneys. And it's just not, they just aren't doing the job. And I always tell people, before you get a divorce, to make sure you have the right attorney, because if you're divorcing a narcissist, it can get, well, not can, it will get very ugly, because once, oh, this is sounding really bad, okay. Okay, because once you are no longer a part of their life, they are vindictive, and the vendetta will be enormous, and it will last for a long time. So anyway, I decided to call some attorneys to see who would be appropriate for this person, where this person lives. And I made a few calls and left some messages, and one of the attorneys called me back. I was explaining, or trying to explain, what narcissistic abuse is and how important it is that an attorney know how to handle this, because they are dealing, it's not a typical divorce situation or child custody situation. When you're dealing with a manipulator, especially in any kind of legal situation, the manipulator generally wins because they know how to manipulate the court. They know how to manipulate their attorney, and they always intimidate the survivor who is in the courtroom. They make up lies. They send motions, and they postpone, and it is just a mess what they do, just to hurt their target. So I call, so I'm telling this attorney, or I'm asking him what his experience is with this kind of situation. And he's saying, oh, I have, you know, I've got experience with everything. I've been doing this for years and years. And he said, well, give me a specific, because, you know, if they file a motion, we'll deal with it. If the other person gives them a hard time, we'll deal with it. Whatever happens, we'll deal with. And I said, well, this is very different. And he said, how can it be different? I said, this is a problem that is global. Court systems do not know how to handle these situations, and the survivors always come out getting the short end of the stick. Even then, even if they get what they want, the other party, the narcissist, will file motion after motion after motion that the survivor has to address. And it ends up getting very expensive. And this can go on for years and years and years. So I need an attorney that can cut right through the crap, that sees this, knows what's happening, and gets to the bottom of it, and can, you know, just... So anyway, this attorney was not getting it. He was just not getting it, and his voice was getting higher and higher. He was getting very, very annoyed with me, which I thought was kind of funny. And then he finally blurted out, well, what is this person? Is she trying to be a victim or something? And I went to myself, oh, my God, and I said to him, I can't believe you said that. You are absolutely not what I'm looking for. And then I heard, click, he hung up on me. It's humorous, in a sense, but I'm able to see the humor in it because I'm not having the problem, and I'm not hiring that particular attorney. But I just thought about all survivors out there who are trying to get legal help and are running up against these assholes, these attorneys who think they know what they're doing and do not. And they make the survivor feel guilty for everything that they're asking for, everything that they're saying. They disbelieve them. This is a huge flaw. So if you're going through something like this, it's very important that you vet attorneys before you hire them and be sure that they've dealt with this particular kind of situation, because if they haven't, you're wasting your money and your time, and things are not going to come out right. I have a caller. Let's talk to the caller. Good morning. Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing? You asked me to call in. I think it was last week or the week before about.
Yes. I'm glad that you did. Okay. So remind me of what your situation is and what you would like me to answer.
So what's been happening? Okay, so he and I got separated years ago because he, from my perception, probably shouldn't have got married in the first place, because there were all the red flags that you see. But, you know, I wanted to have kids, and, you know, he seemed like he would be a good dad, and, you know, we've been together for a while. So then we ended up getting separated because he worked all day, and then he would go out and, you know, work out. He would do triathlons. And he wasn't very loving or attentive. He was putting the kids in harm's way so that he could continue his quest for the best fitness level ever. But, you know, I'm sure I'm not without my own faults, too. You know, I gained a bunch of weight after we got married. And, well, I wasn't skinny before we got married, but I guess that's not really the point. But he, afterwards... So we got separated. He was very angry because, as far as the world was concerned, you know, he should be married, and that's what the world needs to see. But now, currently, like, we've been separated for a long time. We've been divorced almost a year now. Actually, today is the 13th. Yep, exactly a year.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you. And he keeps wanting me to pay more money in child support, even though it's I pay and he pays, and he pays more than I do, but I don't make very much money. But he insists on taking me to court all the time to try and get me to pay more money. But he wanted shared custody. Initially, I had sole custody, so he could go off and do all of his things, and he didn't argue about it. But when he realized he could pay less money if he had shared custody, he went after for shared custody. So now I'm in a position where he always has to play the victim. But I don't, even when I give in, it's always something else. Like, and I don't, it's not that I don't want to give in, because it's such an aggravation to have to go to court all the time or have to respond to these motions that he spends all this money on his lawyer for. And he cries broke all the time because that's his victimhood. But my question is, I guess, whether, and I don't know if I needed to give you that whole backstory, but my question is do, you know, do I embrace playing the what's it called, the villain, and just continue to play the villain, or do I just, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Okay. All right. Did you hear the first part of? Did you hear what I was talking about before you called in?
You know what? I called in, and I can't find the show on Blog Talk. I called in at 2:15, and they said
okay.
There was no show.
Oh.
So I had just called in now. Yeah. So I called in now, so I missed the first part, unfortunately.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we're having static. Stop.
Okay.
Our phone line is really bad.
Oh, sorry, Randy.
Wait a minute.
It's not mine. It's yours? Okay.
No, it's definitely mine.
Okay.
Okay. I might have to call in through my cell. Let me just do that. I'm going to do that in the meantime, and then I'll talk to you as we're okay. A little reprise. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to call in through my cell. Just hang on.
Okay. Do you want me to play some music in my for my mouth?
I'm going to hang up and just everybody hang on, okay?
Hanging on.
Okay. I'm back.
All right.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Okay.
You know, we had the telephone company come out and fix it, and it was great for a while, and then it broke again. Okay. So what I was talking about in the beginning of the show is, and it's actually perfect that you called in to talk about this, because I was saying how I contacted an attorney yesterday for someone who is in the process of getting a divorce to try to vet. I was calling different attorneys to try to vet them to see if they are appropriate for the situation, because in my opinion, the attorney makes or breaks it. So, and I was also saying how the narcissist will continue filing motions and all kinds of things that you have to address, and it gets very expensive. So, and they do it just to aggravate you. So I just was saying that. I happened to call an attorney yesterday who got so angry at me, and then he ended up asking me if the person was trying to be a victim. And so that's what I was just talking about. Anyway, that was just to sort of bring you up to date. Okay.
Okay. Oh, no, that's exactly what I just said, right?
It's exactly what you just said. So this is truly amazing that I, this often happens to me that I speak about a topic that, you know, somebody really needs to hear. Okay. So let me first ask you about your attorney. Is your attorney, have you been happy with your attorney?
I've given up on having an attorney because I ended up spending $10,000 of money that is better spent on children, not lawyers. He was very old. I feel like he was slow on purpose for billing purposes. However, when I saw him in front of a judge, he was excellent. Like, he came alive. Like, being in the office and doing paperwork wasn't necessarily, not that he was bad at it, it's just not his passion. But when he was in front, and was going to go to court for a bit, but they backed down because his lawyer knew she wouldn't win against my lawyer. But what I did do is I don't think I should have shared custody. I think I should have kept sole custody, because what he does is he has the kids for the weekend and he's not there. Like, they're home by themselves for 8 hours calling me to get rides places. I'm like, listen, this is your dad's weekend. You know, I could drive them. And sometimes I do if it's really important. But why take them if you're not even going to spend time with them? Well, I know why. So that it pays less money.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, okay. So what he's doing is taking advantage of the fact that you do not have an attorney. And I've actually had this situation with other clients where the, you know, like I said, where the narcissist will continue to keep filing motions and challenging you to do this and to do that. You cannot do anything about this unless you have an attorney, unfortunately. You need an attorney to nip this in the bud, because, you know, you need somebody that can recognize this and nip it in the bud, because the court will not hear you. They will not pay any attention to you if you do not have an attorney. And
it's
I actually went to court
though.
With. Okay. Why?
It is because once it gets to court, the judge does look at all the facts, and it's better to have a lawyer, yes, but I think the risk versus the rewards, they're doing everything in the best interest of the child here. I'm in Canada.
Okay.
And I feel like monetarily, it's everything's going to be by the grid. It's just, I guess intuitively, he's putting a date in of, we will revisit this in 2021 in June, like do an adjustment to it after seeing what the annual income is. I feel like he's hiding something in 20. It's like, I feel like he's getting a bonus or something this month, and that's why he picked a date that's so far out.
Okay.
So,
right.
You know, because
yeah,
it's
you know,
serving,
if you, right. this is not something that you can do on your own. Either, you know, what I would suggest is either, I mean, you don't want to give in because you don't want to give him more money. What you really need is full custody. That's what you really need. And if you can put together a case of, you know, that he is not with the children when they're with him,
mm-hmm.
I would get evidence of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely get evidence and then go back to court and go for full custody. That's what I would do, because all this frivolous stuff about getting more money from you and all that, if you have custody, that's going to stop. And he does not sound like he is a good father. So there are things, I'm sure, that you can put together a case and represent it. You know, do you have other things other than the fact that when they're there, he's not there at all?
No, not so much. Like, you know, he's not, you know, other than him not paying attention, it's not like he beats them. It's not like, he's a very boring kind of person. But they're old enough to sort of say, okay, and I know my kids, and I don't want to put them in that position, and they don't want to ruffle any feathers. You know, they're good kids, and I don't want to have to put them through that, because they're going to be asked to choose, and I don't want to put them through that.
Okay. All right. Well, the problem is that you can't have it both ways. And this always involves very hard decisions. And in order to make what you want happen, you're going to have to shake things up a bit. What I would do is I would talk to the children and ask them, how old are they, first of all?
14, 15, and one's 19.
Oh, wow. Okay. They're old enough to make decisions on their own. Okay, fine.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And I would imagine that they have better things to do than hanging out at their father's house at those ages.
Yep.
Right?
Well, I think, actually, at this point, I think they kind of like the fact that he's not there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to answer this because, you know, I'm not sure exactly how you're going to go about this. They are going to age out. The 19-year-old has already aged out, right?
Eventually
going to age out.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's in school.
Until they're done post-secondary, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, as long as he has an attorney and you don't, he's gonna mess with you. He is. He's taking advantage of it. He's just trying to drive you crazy. And you're not going to be able to stop this. Now, you can either ignore all the motions, but I don't know if you can. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the legal system in Canada. I don't know if you can just sort of throw everything away or ignore it. If that's an option, I would do it. If it's not an option, then you're going to have to put a stop to this somehow. You know, it's frivolous.
It is frivolous. Maybe I should just go back to the same lawyer I have. I tried to call a lawyer who I know is like a bulldog, but I didn't get a call back. So I did put a call in last week about one, but she didn't return my call. So maybe I just
call
go
again.
Back to the same guys before.
Or call again. Call again. Give it a try. And if not, you might want to go back and just tell the lawyer it's time to put an end to this nonsense. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense. There's already been a ruling. Everything is in place. And you're not making any more money than you made at the time, right? At the time of the ruling?
I am because I got a full-time job in October.
Okay.
That's what he's trying to base it on. And I'm okay. Like, I don't even really mind the agreement that much. It's just, I know, I'm wondering why he set the date for, because he's been getting retroactive pay. So the retroactive pay, I'm suspecting he's getting one. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, is he trying to hide that from me by setting the date out to 2021? So I guess
yeah.
this is all stuff that maybe I should just ask him, are you getting a retroactive pay? You know, is that why
right.
you set the date for that?
I wouldn't ask him anything yourself. I would stay out of it. Because every interaction that you have with him is just feeding him. It's just giving him more fodder to aggravate you. At this point, the best thing to do is have a lawyer deal with this and you stay out of it. No negotiations with him. You know, you cannot negotiate with a narcissist because anything that you say will be held against you. They use it to aggravate you, to toy with you. So, that's also part of why he is continuing. It's because you're talking to him. You're trying to negotiate with him. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He has to know.
I knew that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty much my answer. Okay. Does that help?
How can you tell a narcissist right off the bat? Like, I didn't see any signs of narcissism.
How do you tell that someone is a narcissist?
Okay. Yeah.
So... There's a whole dating protocol that that they go through, and they all do it. They all do it. So when they first meet you, the first thing that they do is interview you, and some are better at hiding it than others. But what they do is they ask a lot of questions about you, and they're good listeners. You know, they really care and they want to know. They want to know what you've been through. They want to know, you know, what you're looking for. And they really dig, okay? The reason they do that is because that is how they customize their abuse to you based on what you tell them during that interview. Now, the interview can go on maybe for a couple of dates or something like that, but you'll find that they will ask a lot of questions. That's number one. The second thing is, that they will love bomb. They will get you to a point where you're high on them, you know. And even if you, you know, I hear from women very often that the men are not even attractive and it wouldn't even be somebody they would have picked, but somehow they're like swept off their feet. That is never a good thing. When you feel that, when you feel like it's going fast, when you feel like somebody is trying to, you know, get you just so high on them and you feel like you're losing your reality. And that's because they get your endorphins firing and they get you addicted to them. So it's when you're looking for them in that situation, it's very important to look out for somebody that's trying to move things quickly, wants to know a lot about you, and is, you know, just love bombing you to the point where you can't even think straight. That's it. Now, as far as other people go, it's pretty difficult. It's, you know, we look for people who are trying to be charismatic. We have to really trust our gut. That's really the thing. When something tells you, if your gut tells you something isn't right, you've got to pay attention to it. Anybody that tries to cross your boundaries, you know, there's a number of things. Do you have my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind?
No, but I should get it.
You should get it because it's going to answer a lot of your questions. You're going to get a very comprehensive look at this whole picture, okay? And I think it will really help you. Okay.
All right.
So that's it. All right. Hopefully I helped you. I'm always available, you know, for counseling if you need it. And you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. Sometimes you just need, you know, like to tell me one thing or, you know, work through one issue. So it doesn't have to necessarily be long-term. Okay.
Okay,
but,
thank you very much,
Randy. I thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. Keep listening, okay?
I will keep listening, yes.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, hi. My name is Patricia from Cleveland, Ohio, and I apologize for the noise behind me. I'm in a Starbucks.
That's okay.
A first-time caller, and I'm going to really get to the gist of the matter. I discovered by accident 3 years ago a past life karmic relationship with a male here, and who's a narcissist. And long story short, this fiend, I've not had any type of, you know, physical or sexual relationship with him, but it's all he continually does, this telepathic communication, and that can be any time, and it is less now, but when I was just really being attacked, and you know, and I call, he did psychic attacks as well, where, you know, he, you know, would just start talking. I mean, and he's a manipulator and controller. Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
And here. Okay.
Yeah, and he's a manipulator and controller, and yes, he is married. But anyway, like I said, this was a trying to navigate this, and plus I was dealing with being bullied and sexually harassed by other males in a college I was going to, and he teaches at that same college, but in a different area. And I'm trying to find help and calling Blog Talk Radio and speaking to various, be it psychics or mediums or whoever. Most of them were criticizing me, basically, you know, shame game, and I, you know, nobody has control over you and blah, 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 blah. But they had to admit he does some type of use and manipulates black magic or voodoo to his advantage, and they had to admit that because they would pick up on it.
Okay.
So
I've actually had two clients who had this situation after the fact,
mm-hmm.
after a relationship, psychic attacks, and they could not, I mean, we had to figure out a way to stop it because they could not heal because this person was always in their head. So I absolutely get it, and I agree that this does happen. Now, is he having, is he saying things to you, you know, verbally, or is it all psychically?
It's verbal. I mean, it's less now than it used to be. What he has, well, let's see, it started a year ago. Suddenly, he loves me. And and I'm going, okay. And like I said, I was engaged, and I had to obviously stop doing that because he's a slick. I would forgive, and then, you know, this would happen. And as I said, and I was just being, and this is a toxic, negative, horrendous place to be in energetically anyway. As I said, I've gotten a lot of my power back where I'm praying protective shielding prayers.
Okay.
And I've discovered some Hindu chants or whatever that are protective.
Okay.
For particular ones, the healing mantras from Ogden,
mm-hmm.
Thomas Ballard.
Okay.
I'm forgetting the rest of his name. There's a particular word in chanting that is dealing with removing demonic, evil, negative situations. And I put people in places. I've got that from the library. What else? And but he definitely, this bastard did this early this morning in my sleep time when he sneaks in. I had a dream, and I'm not going to go through all the gifts of it, but it was him, and I'm in a house, and I'm looking out the window. And I'm in a room and looking through another house, and it's a shade of blue. And then also there's another scene where all these cats were in a room or something, but then they're all running out. And there's and I believe there's a lion. Anyway, it's
okay.
Something else, and I'm going to have to decode that. Anyway, So like I said, he's probably in discovering that he's
okay.
In some type of bad marriage, and I don't care. And so, anyway.
So you're doing everything that you can, but one thing that you are doing wrong is that you are paying way too much attention to these things. You're allowing it to infect your life. You're going to have to set up some boundaries, and you're going to have to decide that he does not have power over you. And this is, you know, I love the affirmations, the mantras, and all those things. I definitely think, and the shielding, and it's all very good. But sometimes what happens is we can let them have power over us, and that's actually what you've done. You've allowed him. So you need to have a mindset of he has no power over me, okay, rather than demons and things like that. I'm taking my power back. He has no power over me. And those kind of affirmations are better for you to block this out, because the more he infects you and the worse you feel about it, the more vulnerable you're going to be. Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, he just continually keeps it up.
Right, but what I'm saying is, first of all, you've got to take your power back. You have to take
right.
your power back.
Definitely.
Okay? Yes. And this is something, you know, because when you can feel that, it puts out an energy, a very different energy than the vulnerable one that you're putting out right now. Okay? So, listening to you, I'm kind of thinking that maybe you had some issues in childhood, and you may not have really strong boundary issues.
Yes.
Am I correct
I've
in
had,
saying that?
I'm gonna give you the Reader's Digest version. I've had a difficult and abusive childhood, some of my adulthood.
Okay. So, right. This is what I suspected based on listening to you. So, what's happening is that you have not created a strong boundary system, and a self-love and self-protection that is fierce. And this is what you need in life, because when you're raised in the kind of environment that you were raised in, I don't know the details, but I do know the tendency. And the tendency is that children who are raised in these abusive environments become very empathic and sensitive to energies, because they're living in an unpredictable environment, and they begin to sense when something is about to happen. Okay, so they get very empathic and sensitive. Okay, so adult child of narcissistic abuse that I talk to has empathic tendencies, which makes them extraordinarily sensitive to the energies of other people, and that adds to the complications. Okay, so it's very important for you to develop strong self-love and strong boundaries. Now, as someone who was not raised with them, it probably seems very foreign to you when I say that. So what I recommend is, you know, and I have people that, you know, that I work with, because I do counseling. I have people that I work with on these things. But I would recommend that you pick up a copy of my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind. I go through all of this. I explain all of this in that book. And I give I really give you strong tools for building these things. When you have this in your life, you will not attract all these monsters in your life, all these crazy people, manipulators. They will not come into your life because you will not have that presence that they can sense. They have a sixth sense as well. They know who to, you know, who's vulnerable and who they can get in, you know, who is going to allow them to abuse them. And so that's your best defense. So taking your power back, developing strong boundaries, and developing self-love. Self-love has seven components to it. It's not just I love me. There's many things, and I talk about it. I really elaborate on that in the book, exactly what self-love is, so that you can see where you are and where you should be or where you need to work on, okay? And I have to tell you that I download information as I'm talking to people, so I'm not telling you this just off the top of my head, okay? I download information from spirit or whatever for whoever I work with. This is the message that I'm getting for you. So that's what I recommend. Get all this voodoo stuff. I know it's true. I know it happens. But just get it all out of your head and take a different approach. I'm powerful. Nobody can rule me. Nobody can manipulate me. I am powerful. Okay? Work on that and call me in a month when I do my next show and let me know how it's going. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So, anyway, That was very interesting that we had two callers with two different situations. And while you may think that topic was kind of kooky, and it was different. You may not all relate to it. But I have had two people, one who was not really spiritually connected at all, who was getting psychic attacks from this ex-narcissist. And it was weird because we went on and on for months. There was absolutely no reason this person could not heal. Okay? This person was not even attracted to the narcissist that sucked them in. But they got addicted to this person. And once outside of the relationship, he could see that he didn't want anything to do with her. She grossed him out. But he couldn't get rid of it in his head. And we tried everything. We tried everything. And he kept saying, I know she's controlling my thoughts somehow. She's doing something to me. Well, then, you know, and I kind of put that aside and I didn't pay too much attention to it. Then I had another client who the same thing was happening, but he was more of a sensitive person. And he said, Randy, I know it's because we had this connection when we were together, and now she's still doing it to me. So hearing that, I thought back to my other client, and I thought, you know what? This is a real thing. So we came up with some shielding things and some ways for them to take their power back, and the problem was solved immediately. So if you're listening and you can relate to this, don't think that you're weird about this, because it can happen. And as I was saying, when you have vulnerability from your childhood, it makes you extremely energetically sensitive. And so you will pick up on vibes very, very easily, whether they're in your vicinity or not. You can pick it up. So that's something to understand. I actually have a page on, I have two pages well, three pages on Facebook that are professional pages. They're not my personal pages. But one is called Empath Society. Empath Society is for people who are feeling odd because they are sensitive to everything and it's really impacting their life. So that page is devoted to that, and I put up a lot of information. The other page I have is Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. And that page is for all of you who are listening to come in and get some. I do a lot of, on both pages, I do a lot of empowerment. I really touch upon the specific issues that you experience as a narcissistic abuse survivor, and on the other page, as you experience as an empath. So these are definitely good sources for you if you want to connect. As always, I'm here to help you. You can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. I counsel all over the world, every corner of the world. This is a epidemic situation. It is everywhere. So you can contact me if you need help. And my process works very quickly. You will not be in therapy for years and years and years. People come to me very broken, and they cannot imagine ever feeling better. And in 3 months after working with me weekly, they are on their own, feeling empowered and ready to take on life. So the process works very, very quickly. If you are interested and if you're in pain, please don't allow yourself to suffer. Call me, allow me to help you. I am very, very reasonable. My fee is so ridiculously reasonable because I do it not to make money off of you. I do it to help you. I want to help you. So you can go to my website, randyfine.com. You can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. And I do suggest that you read Close Encounters of the Worst Kind for your narcissistic abuse issues. It is also very interesting to read the Cliff Edge Road book because I tell the story of how this progresses, and you will see yourself in it. I was one who I had narcissistic abuse in childhood, and because of it, I had very, very dysfunctional adult romantic relationships. I had a very skewed perception of what love was. I was just miserable. I was tortured in my life. I was depressed. And it wasn't until the last relationship that almost destroyed me that I hit bottom, and there was no other way but up. And I had to face the fact that I had something to do with it. My codependency had something to do with it, but other things as well. Lack of boundaries, as I was telling the caller. Lack of self-love, real self-love. When I talk about self-love, I talk about it that you love yourself so much that you refuse to allow anyone to upset or intrude on your safety. That is, it's a fierce way of protecting yourself. And once you get it, you understand it. Until you get it, it's difficult to understand. But this is what you need in your life to prevent this from happening anymore to you. Anyway, I am thankful for the callers. They definitely make the show. If you want to call in next time, let me see. My show is going to be... January, going through my calendar. Okay, January 10th, 11 a.m. Eastern. The number to call is 424-220-1801. And you can go on my website. There's a link that directly connects you to the show if you just want to listen. Or you can go on my Blog Talk Radio page, Randy Fine, and there'll be links to all my shows. So I thank you very, very much for listening. And I won't see you until after New Year's. So have a very, very happy holiday season, very safe, very peaceful. And I wish you a happy new year, all good things in 2020. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.